Let's take our Bibles and once again turn to Daniel and the chapter 5. And can I just say to you that concerning next Lord's Day evening, that great praise service, there will be the Calvary singers, Dr. McCrae and others will be taking part. And also there will be tea after the service. And so therefore, if you can help us in that with eatables, that will be appreciated. That's next Lord's Day evening at 7:30. And we would encourage you to bring your friends and they'll get a wee cup of tea and everything. And therefore, that'll be a wee bonus for them if they come along. You can try and just get them caught in that even. And therefore, they'll come and join us together next Lord's Day evening. Let's come to the Lord in prayer with the Bible open before us, please. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you now for your blessing and your presence throughout this day already. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, tonight that thy word is a living word. And we ask now that you'll come and give us help from heaven. We pray that we know the help and the aid of God, the Holy Spirit. And we pray that tonight, even in our congregation here, Lord, that you'll settle every heart down. That you'll open every ear to thy truth. And Lord, hide man behind the cross. That tonight the Lord Jesus alone will be seen. Lord, save, we pray. Restore a backslider. And Lord, bless your redeemed people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want us to look tonight at the thought and the title that I have given to my message this evening. The night God stopped the party. We have here in Daniel, it's a wonderful book, and I would encourage God's people to read the book of Daniel. There are many names of individuals mentioned. We have even read some of them in the chapter 5 already this evening, Belshazzar, who we're going to consider. We also have the name of Daniel. We have the name of Nebuchadnezzar, his father, the king, and so on. And there are wonderful passages that are in great teaching and the Word of God on all these type of people. And it's a blessing to read them and to consider them. And no doubt it's a well-known book in the Bible by many. Probably one of the most blessed and the well-read and spoken upon in the Word of God is that thought of Daniel and his Hebrew friends. You remember the three young men? And how they stood for God. And when the command came to bow the knee and to give due worship to the false God, they took their stand. They refused to bow the knee. They faced the opposition. They faced the danger of life. And yet how true God's word is, them that honor me, I will honor. Of course, it didn't go with the flow, and therefore they were put into the fiery furnace. Yet in the midst of the fiery furnace, they had the wonderful presence of the Lord. Thank God, tonight God walks with us even in the hottest trials of life. Even at times when we're going through the most difficult experiences along the journey of life, isn't it good to know tonight, child of God, that you don't walk it alone? Thank God, He's with us all the way. And not only is He with us all the way, but praise God tonight, He brings us through. Oh, when it looks the darkest, and when the flame is burning at the hottest, thank God you come out safe and well. Thank God tonight, even for our brother and his family, even as they go through this difficult time in their life's experience, it's good to know that the Savior's with the family all the way. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. But we want to come tonight and look at this man for a few moments that's left of our service. I want us to know, first of all, tonight, the feast. We have here Belshazzar. He's in control here, and he decides that it was time for a party. Now, remember this. The scene is different outside. The enemy is approaching bit by bit, but in the midst of it all, his last idea and his last thought is on the thought of death. He's not thinking of dying tonight. He's not thinking of going out into eternity. He's so taken up with time. And it tells us here, this wasn't one feast. It wasn't just an ordinary feast. It tells us in verse 1, and Belshazzar the king made a great feast.
This was going to be the talk of the area. There was never a feast like it before. Not another king in the realm or in surrounding districts ever made a feast like this. He invited all the people he could get his hands on, it says here, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Then on down in the verse 2, towards the end of the verse, it says that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. They were all there. They were all there in their refinery. They were all in their best. And the last thing, they were out to have a great time. They were out to have a party. They were out to enjoy each other's company. I can just picture the scene. Now you can hear the music starting to up. You can hear the music of the band starting to play as the guests are arriving in. One by one they're meeting each other. Oh, the king's a great fella now. There's nobody like him. Look what he has put on for the lords and his princes and his wives and his concubines. And I have no doubt he was loving the pride of place. No doubt he was loving the center of attraction. Even showing this great outward determination, this that he was even in the midst of the battle of life, he was willing to throw a party even like this. The tables were full of food and wine. There was no stopping here. This was a banquet never seen before. The singing started. You can hear the jokes. You can hear the laughter. You can hear the chit-chat of people. And my, their mind is not on anything else. They're just taken up with time. They're talking about everything and anything. And they're getting on with life. And the party's going. They're not thinking that things were going to change. You see, in Belshazzar's mind, the enemy was on the outside. And in his mind, he was in the place of the best security. He felt in his own heart there was no way that the foe, the enemy, would break through. And so therefore, he had nothing to fear, as he thought. He was just getting on with the party scene. He was getting on with life. But he forgot about one enemy. The enemy death. He forgot about it. And you know, friend, tonight, as you sit in God's house, let me say to you, and maybe you're a young person even gathered in the house of God tonight, and you're just here to pass the time, and you're only here to please someone, but let me say to you, all of life may be ahead of you, and you're enjoying your time. You're enjoying what life can offer. You're enjoying the party scene. You're enjoying the jokes. You're enjoying the filthy jokes. You're even enjoying the mockery. You're even got to the stage where your heart is totally rebellious. He was rebellious against God here. He was not bold against God. He just told them to bring in the vessels from the temple and he would drink out of them. That's how bold he was in the face of God. There wasn't a fear here. He was total rebellious. In his mind, he was unstoppable. In his thoughts, God wasn't going to destroy him and his party. And he thought all was well. He thought the walls that were built around him were the thing to protect him. He thought the wide river outside that was keeping him apart, my, it was the place of safety. And he just got on with life. And I ask you tonight, is that you? You're just getting on with life? My, you're just going through the motions of life. You know, it reminds me well, even of Noah's day, they just got on with life. Even though Noah preached to them. And even though they were warned, and let me say to you, this man knew what God could do because God dealt with his father. God brought his father to the ground. He brought him to his knees. He knew who he was dealing with, but it still didn't fear him. Maybe you're here tonight and you know deep within your heart that you're messing around with the wrong person tonight. Or you can fool around with your parents. And you can joke with your parents, and my, you can even enjoy the laughter of friends, and my, the last thing in your mind tonight is death. But the Bible clearly tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, it's the last enemy. And Belshazzar was going to face it that night.
But he would just get on with life. Nobody was going to stop him.
Is that you, young person, tonight? Nobody's going to stop me. Maybe you're sitting in God's house and you'd nearly just say before God, God, you're not going to destroy the party. You're not going to step into my plans. You're not going to take away from me the things that I'm enjoying. You're not going to empty the booze for me. You're not going to break up that company for me. Because I'm boss. You see, Belshazzar thought everything was fine because he was on the throne. And therefore he could do what he just wanted to do. And he had his feast. My, they trusted in their God. Look what it says in verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, wood and stone. And maybe you're in tonight and that's the gods of your life. Maybe the last thing in your life tonight is God. Anything to do with God. Oh, you may have been brought up in a Christian home. Oh, you're maybe even a more older person in the house of God tonight, and maybe as you sit here, you can remember well this account of story. You maybe heard it read to you many times. You maybe heard about the message from time to time, even from a Sunday school teacher, or even a children's worker, or maybe even from a mother's knee. You heard the story, and my, you could even tell Daniel and the whole background of Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den, and you could tell about the Hebrew children going through the fiery furnace, and you could go through the whole scene, but in your heart tonight you have other gods that's occupying the throne of your life. You have the gods of the world tonight. Maybe it's the gods of the sports world. Maybe it's the god of the booze. It's maybe the god of the party scene, the club scene, the rave scene. Maybe it's the god of your life, just self-righteousness, that's good enough for me. Maybe you're just going through the motions, friend. And you have other gods tonight that's taken the place of the true God of heaven. And you've made it king and authority of your life. Maybe it's a God of companions. But the companions could be destroying you and taking you to a lost eternity.
And Belshazzar went ahead with a party.
And Belshazzar feasted and he no doubt enjoyed the music scene and no doubt he enjoyed the wine and he enjoyed the mockery of God and the laughing at God and he was saying to God, you will not stop me. I'm getting on with life. And that's maybe just you. God, I'm getting on with my life. Not only do we have the feast, but can I say to you in the second place tonight, we have the fingers. All while this was going on, you can come to verse 5, and everything was going well. You can hear it all, and they're enjoying it. Don't get me wrong, they were having a great time. And my, that's the way the world works, and that's where the way the devil fools many people. You just go on the way you're going. You enjoy it. And that's why it's there. They enjoy the things of the world. But let me say to you, they will only last for a period of time. And this was going to happen here. They were great. They were enjoying all this. This was a wonderful place to be at. This was the place to be in with the people of the day, the lords and the ladies, the princes, the wives, the concubines, the king himself. You couldn't have missed out on this thing. And everything was going well.
Until the fingers.
And in verse 5 we read and listen to these words in the CMR. Oh, wasn't another day. In the CMR.
came four fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loose and his knees smote one against another. Belshazzar thought he was indispensable. He was a man who believed no one from the outside would reach him. The party would last for a long period of time. This was an all-night party. This wasn't going to be last. There was plenty of food. There was plenty of wine. There was plenty of music. There was plenty of guests. And this was going to go on. And therefore he was the host and he was going to make sure that everything was going to go smoothly until God stepped into the palace. You see, he thought nobody could get in, only those that were asked to come in. But let me say to you, God can move anywhere. And friend, tonight he's in this house, and my, he's moving among this people and company of people, and tonight he's moving among you. And he's coming to your life tonight, and he's pinpointing the God in your life. And my, he's showing to you that even in the midst of all that is taken up in your mind and your heart and your life at this present time, God can stop it even tonight. And as everything was going and the music was playing and the noise of voices was continuing on, the writing came on the wall and you can almost hear the quietening down of the voices. You can always hear the clash and the clutter of music, musical instruments coming to an end. You can almost see the cups of wine being set down on the table. And the only thing that filled the mouth of the people was air, because they stood in awe, because they couldn't believe what was happening. This wasn't part of the act. This was not what had been planned. But then you see, friend, tonight, God has His plans. And He works according to them.
And the hand came on the wall. And the king, who once was smiling and welcoming the guests to the party, to this great feast, it says here, and his countenance was changed. You know what that really means?
His face went white.
He couldn't believe it. And as he stood there and saw this taking place, he went weak at the knees. You know what I'm talking about, times if you're maybe standing, you feel a wee bit faint or something, and the colour's changing, you start feeling weak in the knees, and now you go down. This is just exactly how he felt, and it started to shake. He couldn't control himself. Because this was not what was to happen. And I ask you tonight, in God's house, in the stillness of God's house, let me ask you this tonight. What if God stepped into your life tonight? What if God came to you tonight and before this night was out? Because remember, this all happened on the same night when everything was going. In that very hour, God came into the scene. And what if God stepped into your life tonight and said, "This is it. Young man, this is it. Young woman, this is it." I can tell you tonight, you would stand aghast. And I'll tell you, worse still, you stand and face God at the judgment bar. Let me say to you, you will not speak a word.
And it's a fearful thing to go out to meet God in the judgment bar unprepared. Oh, you can laugh at your friends now.
You know what? It came very personal to Belshazzar because it just came right down to him. Even though the crowd was there, even though the place was packed, let me say to you, he felt as if he was the only one standing there. And friend, you'll not just feel like it, you will be the only one standing at the judgment bar. Oh, your friends will not be there with you, even though you run about with them. And even though you went to all the dens of iniquity of the day, and now you lived your life without God, and maybe you're in the house tonight, and you defied God, or maybe you're here tonight, and you're just a religious person, and now you stand for the free church, and you would back the minister up in everything that he would say. You would nearly go out of the service saying, that was a good word. But friend, tonight, if you're not right with God, you will stand before God at the judgment bar, and it'll be you and God, and it'll not be you and the minister, it'll not be you and the Sunday school teacher, it'll not be you and your friends, it'll be you and God alone.
And you needn't think you'll start saying, aye, but God, you see that person down there? Do you see that Christian? You know, they didn't live so well, and therefore, you know, listen, people just love that, and they'll use all the excuses of the day.
But let me say to you, friend, it'll be you and God. God will not be asking you what your neighbour done. He'll not be asking you what anyone else in the church done.
He'll be looking at you and what did you do with his son? Not what you thought of the church.
Not what you thought of the minister. But what you thought of his blessed son. And friend, you will face God and you will stand before him. And so you will. Don't you ever think that you'll escape it. Don't ever you get up in your thoughts that you will get away with it, that somehow you'll slip through the net. No, you won't. You and God. And Belshazzar went weak at the knees. Friend, tonight let me ask you in God's house, are you going to heed the message that is given to you? You know, God didn't, and I thought of this, God didn't send a bolt of lightning out of the blue. He didn't do some amazing act. No, just a hand on the wall penned the message.
And friend, tonight you have in your hand the message of God. And what is it? That God sent His only begotten Son to the cross.
And there on the cross, the nails in the hands and in the feet, the crown of thorns upon the brow, the spear into His side.
And there on the cross, He went and shed His precious blood to redeem sinful man. And let me say to you tonight, He didn't have to do it. He could have let the whole lot of us go till a lost eternity in hell.
But thank God for His amazing love and His amazing grace. And thank God tonight there's many in God's house can say, thank you Lord for saving my soul. Thank you Lord for making me whole. Thank you God for Calvary. And thank God, friend, tonight not only did He die on the cross and not only was He buried in a borrowed tomb, but praise God, He rose again the third day, and He's a living Savior.
If you believe that, say Amen. And thank God He can live in your life and heart.
He says, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. And thank God tonight, I am not trusting in the church to save me, and I'm not trusting in the nice way the minister brings his sermons to save me, and I'm not trusting on my family, my mother and father's salvation. Friend, tonight, I alone am trusting personally on the finished work of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. that was accomplished at the cross for me. I can sing with a hymn writer tonight, I'm depending on the blood. And friend, if you're depending on anything than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way to a lost eternity. But thank God there's burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank God tonight if you come as a sinner and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I've been taken up with the things and the pleasure phrases of the world, and my life has other gods in it. But God, tonight, I want you to be the God of my life. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Redeemer. I want you to be my friend. I want you to wash me in your precious blood. Thank God, whosoever will may come. There's room at the cross for you. But you gotta come. Friend, I say to you tonight in Jesus' name, God has given the message. Yes, He says there's a day of judgment coming. Sin will have to be judged. But thank God the price was paid at Calvary. And thank God tonight you can know sin's forgiven. You can have the assurance that heaven is your home and that your sin has been washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the feast. You have the fingers. Can I say to you in the final place, you have the fate of Belshazzar. And you can read in the verse 25, and we read it earlier, but turn to it now. In the few moments that we have left, and it says in the verse 25, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You know, isn't it amazing that God already finished the kingdom before Belshazzar knew it? Oh, he hadn't a clue what was going on. The last thing in his mind was this night of death, was his night of eternity. It commenced with a night of entertainment, but it was going to end in eternity. And my, even before the king knew it, God had already purposed that the place was finished. If you turn in the Word of God, it can clearly tell us, and many times in God's Word concerning the things of God, and it tells us there also one time Daniel spoke, and he says that God sets up kingdoms and He brings them down again. And even before the king, the one who was laughing, the one who was mocking God, the one who had no time for God, the one who was taken up with all the pleasures, the one who started out the entertainment show that night, let me say to you, he wasn't going to finish it. And the king that should have knew everything that was going on, he didn't know that God had already finished it. And it says here, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. The balances of God. You know, one day you will bring all that you can to those scales. And on one side you have the wonderful righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be many one day go to the scales of heaven. And they'll pile on and they'll pile on and they'll pile on all that they can to try and outweigh the balance. But it will never happen. There'll be those who'll say, all my charitable goods, all my good living, all that I have done, everything, and just place it upon the scales and hoping that that will be good enough. But friend, it will not. It's only the righteousness of God that is good enough for a soul to get into heaven. The imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day another king was throwing a feast. And my said, go out and bring the people in. And not only that, but he supplied the garment as well. And anyone that hadn't a garment was not bidden to the king's banquet. And let me say to you, there's a banquet someday in glory. And the only ones that will be bidden entered are those who are clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can bring all you want to put on one side of the scales, but friend, it will be no good. That's why we sang that opening hymn, O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, now none but Christ can satisfy. And it says here in verse 28, Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. He thought he had everything held together. He thought in his own mind that he was in control, but God divided the kingdom. And friend, you might think you're in control of your life tonight, but let me say to you, you're not. One day King David said, tell his best friend there is but a step between me and death. You know, death's not a welcome guest to anybody's home and anybody's house. But it proves here that death goes to the palace as well till some beggar home. It didn't stop because there was a party on. It didn't stop because Belshazzar was having a good time and he hadn't time for the things of God. No, death was appointed by God and he didn't know that he was just a step away from death. And in you in God's house tonight, you don't know whether that step could be the final step you take tonight. Oh, young person in God's house, maybe you think, Philip, I have all of life ahead of me. I'm a young person. I have youth on my side. I have health and strength. You know, I'll not be dying tonight. You may think you're not going to die tonight, but God can say tonight, this is your night. You may think, I'll wait until I get all the pleasures I can out from the things of the world and drag it to the very last. Or maybe you're in God's house here and maybe you're thinking to yourself, I haven't even touched those things, but I'm giving myself a few years and when the time is right and when I'm about to maybe go out into eternity, then I'll get right with the Lord. Friend, you don't know the moment. Our brother, and not mind me saying this, but let me say to you, Mrs. McRae Sr. didn't know that was the last. Her family didn't know that was her last day upon earth. But she went out into eternity. Thank God she was ready to go. And friend, tonight, the Reverend McRae or me or many others out of the congregation could be going to your home to sympathize with your family, because who knows, this night could be your final night. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Time's going quickly. It's hard to believe how in a number of weeks we'll be out into another month and time's going so quickly, and there's people in God's house could look over a lifetime and say, it has only been a flash. It's been like that weaver's shuttle has been swift. And friend, death can come sudden. And death can come uncertain. And there's nothing to stop it. And what if it came to you tonight? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? What a change. It went from music to mourning. It went from laughter to lament. It went from life to death. And that night, Belshazzar, as it says in verse 30, and that night, you see, it all happened. The party started. And that verse 5 says, in the same hour. And now verse 30 says, and that night. Who would have thought it? And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He was taken right out.
it was lights out for him.
And young person, an older friend in our gathering tonight, let me ask you, if God said tonight to you, this is your night that you're going to leave this scene of time, you're leaving the pleasures behind. You're going to leave that home that you set up. You're going to leave that balance that's in the bank. It's going to be left for someone else. You're not taking it with you. You're coming now. Let me ask you, are you ready to go? Have you made that heart preparation?
Belshazzar started the party, and God finished it. And you might be going through life, and it may be mine and I and everything else, but tonight God could stop you in your track and say, this is it. It's night out for you to go out into the night. Says, and in the same night, oh, how sad to go out into the night unprepared.
One moment now, you'll be going out through the doors and you'll be going out into the natural night. And friend, none of us know that we'll get home. I don't even know it myself. But thank God I know where I'm going to.
Will it be a dark night for you?
Will you have to face and stand before God someday? Maybe even tonight. How will you face Him? I pray the Spirit of God tonight will stop you in your track. And that before you leave the house of God, that the Spirit of God will just even take a dealing with you.
As Belshazzar that day, that he trembled at the speaking of God to his heart. May God break you down tonight.
May God remove you from that throne that you think that's all self. And may tonight you bow your knee before God and trust Him as Lord and Savior.
In the same night Belshazzar was slain. That was his fate.
And the God he mocked, and the vessels that he fooled around with from the temple of God, that night God brought him out to meet him.
How sad it would be from this house if someone went out into the night,
having heard the preaching of God's word, having heard the warning that it could be your night, having heard that there was a way back to God, that there was a place of salvation for the soul, and yet reject God's offer of mercy. Friend, that would be a terrible meeting with God.
You know, the Bible tells it will be far worse for those that have heard God's word and rejected Him than for those that never heard. And there's people in this house, and you have heard the Lord's servant year after year after year, and you could even preach God's word yourself, and yet tonight you're not ready. I would not like to face God that way. How will you face Him?
May you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to read one verse. And I want you to think upon it. Job 12 and 13. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And it says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. You're not your boss tonight. God has your breath in His very hand.
And He just has to close that hand tonight. And that breath would leave your body. And I don't care who would come to try and revive you. resuscitate you in any way, let me say to you, if God takes a breath, that is it. What if He did tonight? Where would you be in eternity? As our heads are bowed, is there someone the Lord has spoken to? If the Lord has, will you just indicate that by raising your hand and take it down again and then speak to us at the end of the meeting? Maybe if you can't get your hand up, well, I'll go down to the door and just come along and say, Philip, I want to speak to you there. Or come up to the Reverend McCrae in the minister's room and just say, I want to speak to you. I want to settle a matter tonight because I wouldn't want to go out to face God and not prepared. Father in heaven, we ask that you'll bless your word till every heart. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that each one will take upon them tonight the danger of putting off salvation till another time. Lord, we pray tonight that they will see that life at best is very brief. Lord, that they will realize that even tonight God could step into their life and all their plans and all their pleasures come to an end and go out to face God at the judgment bar. Lord, save, we pray. Restore the backslider. And may the bells in heaven ring tonight over a precious soul coming to Thee. Lord, part us with Your blessing now, that we never meet again this side of heaven. May we all meet in the land that's fairer than day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming, and if the Lord has spoken to your heart, then do speak to us and settle the matter tonight. There you'll go out into eternity unprepared.